Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless. All right, there we go. I'm looking forward to this. This is a fun sermon experience. So will you go before God in prayer with me as we approach our text for this morning? Heavenly Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these, your people, would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now, I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see, open mine eyes and lift me. Spirit divine, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Before you take a seat, do me a favor. I want you to introduce this morning's sermon. The staff has already heard it. Those who are culturally sensitive, you already know a little bit about this. And so look at a neighbor with a smile on your face because you're glad to be here. Say, neighbor! Let's try this again. Let's smash pause, press rewind. Let's try this one more time. Put a smile on your face because you're glad to be here, because you're glad that God woke you up this morning. He didn't really have to. If you think about all the stuff you did last week, you got to today, God really shouldn't have worked. If you think about the stuff you did on yesterday, you should be glad just to be anywhere on today. So with joy in your voice, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, good morning. Good to see you. Glad you're in church. This morning's sermon is how to make lemonade. Look at another neighbor, look at another neighbor, look at another neighbor, smile on your face, connect with them real quick. Say, neighbor, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Glad you're in church. This morning's sermon is how to make lemonade. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. I'm still getting a little feedback here as well. How to make lemonade. Well, for those who are culturally sensitive, we know Beyonce has given the word lemonade a whole new meaning. This is her sixth album that she has released. It was released in April of 2016. And the release of the album sparked a cultural conversation because it was accompanied by a one-hour film on HBO. And if you didn't have HBO, you immediately jumped online to find somebody that had put it on YouTube because you just wanted to see what all the buzz was about. Lemonade. Beyonce is amazing solely because she can release an album and do no marketing at all. Folk will wait up late just wondering if she's going to dock up today or going to be tomorrow. And so she was amazing with that. And so she released the album, but then she released a one-hour film to go along with it. And the film sparked all kinds of conversation. It was called Lemonade because in the film it looked like she was talking about they had some issues in her and Jay-Z's marriage. And so there was all kind of brothers like, yeah, I want Jay to slip up. She was supposed to be mine. Anyway, there's all kind of sisters looking like, well, if she got issues in her marriage, then that makes sense for my own marriage. Sparked all kind of conversation around the word lemonade. Leaves room for interpretation. Video, the film, raises profound questions. What do you do in a life that you hope for gives you limits? What do you do when the dream you had for your life grow up as limits? I mean, if Beyonce and Jay-Z have some issues in their relationship, and they balling more than all of us. I think all of us. I don't know what kind of money you got in your. They balling more than me. And so if they've got issues, they've got limits. That means none of us are really exempt. If you live any length of time, you will find that in life you will have to deal with lemons. Has anybody here this morning had to deal with lemons in life? What do you do when someone you've trusted turned their back on you? What do you do when lies are told about you? What do you do when real financial struggle knocks on your door? What do you do when the job security you had is snatched away from you? What do you do when sickness attacks your body? What do you do when death grabs the life of a loved one? What do you do when life gives you lemons? If we're honest this morning, brothers and sisters, we often find it easier to complain about the bitterness of life's lemons. If we're honest, we often find it easier to hide from the difficulty of dealing with life's lemons. We're going to be honest, we're going to be real. Many of us look up to heaven and cry out, God, why me? I want to suggest to us, brothers and sisters, that Christians should be able to rejoice even when dealing with life's lemons. I want to suggest that Christians should still be able to find joy even when dealing with life's lemons. With God, we can turn life's lemons into lemonade. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi gives us directions on how to make lemonade out of life's lemons. Last week, I shared with you that we can learn a lot in the church at Philippi. We looked at, talked about Acts chapter number 16, dealing with how Paul got the church started. That's Acts chapter number 16. But today, I want us to take a quick journey through time to learn a few more things from Paul's life. Really, this is a quick survey of Acts chapter number 21 through 25. It helps us shed light on our text that's going to come in just a moment. It describes the time when life gave Paul, the Apostle Paul, the one that wrote most of the New Testament, gave Paul lemons. He was in Jerusalem preaching the gospel, and some religious Jewish people who were more worried about tradition than their relationship with God got mad at Paul. And so they said, he's bringing Gentiles into the church. This is a problem. And they started a riot around Paul. I mean, they started some major drama around Paul. People from all over the city started showing up, having issue with Paul. Somebody saw the ruckus, and they in essence called the police. The local police came to see what was going on. Paul's accuser says he's breaking our religious law. They kept yelling, take him away. Get him away from us. They said, he's not even worth living. They were mad because Paul was telling people about Jesus. The police commander said, beat him until he confesses to his crime. They began to take off his shirt and they're getting ready to flog Paul. And Paul says, is it lawful to beat a Roman citizen? Paul happened to be a Roman citizen. And so the police says, oh, hold up. He got some citizenship rights. The commander gets a little scared. He says, well, maybe what we'll do is we'll turn him over to y'all's religious courts. Turn him over to the religious courts. And so they began to keep trying to accuse Paul, so much so that they plot to kill him. Plot to kill him. And again, another riot breaks out. This one's bigger than the last one. As a matter of fact, the police chief said, you know what? We got to stop this. And so he sends 200 foot soldiers, 70 on horses, and another 200 carrying spears or their riot gear. They all have to show up. 470 riot police have to show up just to snatch Paul out of the crowd because Paul had been preaching the gospel. So they bring Paul into jail. They said, well, we're going to have to bring you before the governor. They brought him before a brother by the name of Festus. But Festus didn't know how to deal with it. Paul said, if y'all gonna try me in Rome. I wanna go on trial in Rome. So they put Paul on the ship. Paul is already dealing with life's lemons. Paul was just preaching the gospel and a riot broke out. They wanted to kill him. He's dealing with life's lemons. If that wasn't bad enough, when they put him on the ship, on their way to Rome, the ship ran aground and fell apart. And so now they're shipwrecked. Paul has even more lemons to deal with. Then on top of that, while they're on the island of Malta, as a matter of fact, they're sitting around a fire and a snake comes up and bites him. He's got more lemons to deal with. Paul finally makes it to Rome. He sits in a jail cell. Paul is there for 2 years in a Roman jail cell. Matter of fact, Paul sitting on the ground and he's got chains on his ankles and he's got chains on his wrists. But on top of that, he's chained to a Roman soldier from the elite Praetorian Guard. They were the palace officers, if you will. And so he's chained to them. Paul has to sit here in a jail cell waiting trial for 2 years. Paul knows a little bit about life's lemons. I wonder what was going through Paul's mind when he's sitting in jail for something he knows he didn't do. No, he did no wrong, but they tried to kill him. He's got lemons. God, I'm doing your will. And here I am sitting on the floor in a Roman jail cell, chained to a Roman soldier when trying to do your will. Paul knows a little bit about life's lemons. Then, Paul has a visitor. I'll talk to you about Epaphroditus, and he comes by to talk to Paul. Paul says to the soldier, can you get me some parchment? Get me a pen. I want to write a letter to the church at Philippi, the little church I helped get started. So I want you to see Paul in a Roman jail cell, chains around his ankles and chains around his wrist. He's awaiting trial for 2 years. A Roman soldier is simply looking over his shoulder at what Paul is writing. And here's what he writes. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 12 puts it like this. Paul says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. Your translation may say jealousy, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does this matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I must still rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul writes this letter with Roman soldier glaring over him while he's in chains. Paul helps us to understand a few things about how to deal with life's lemons. First of all, brothers and sisters, Paul teaches us that we have a life on display. A life on display. Let me explain it to you. So again, Paul, every single day, 24 hours a day, is chained to a Roman soldier from the elite Praetorian Guard. That guard has 9,000 soldiers throughout the city. It's an elite guard. It is the palace guard in Rome. And so Paul is chained, and every few hours, a new soldier would show up, and he would have to chain himself to sit and watch Paul. What's amazing is that Paul has the palace guard watching. He's not a run-of-the-mill criminal. You hadn't sold any bread or no wine. No. Why are you in the situation that you were in? Every few hours, a new soldier would come by, chain himself to Paul. The same questions would have to be asked. Man, what did you do to get yourself in this situation? Man, who did you tick off so that I've got to stand here for hours out of my day to look at you? What caused you to have the limit that you have in life? Paul's response is not that I've done something wrong to Caesar. Normally you would be in this situation because you've done something wrong to Caesar. But Paul says, I am where I am not because I have offended the government, but I am where I am because I preached Christ. So he gets off duty. He goes, talks to his friends. He says, man, this dude's in jail because he said he's preaching Christ. A few hours later, another one comes and puts a chain on. Hey, man, what did you do to get in this situation? Paul's response is, I preach Christ. A few hours later, somebody else comes and they're chained. This happens all day for Paul. Roman soldier says, what did you do to get these lemons in your life? And Paul's response is, it's not that I've stolen. It's not that I've cursed Caesar. It's not that I've done something wrong for the government. But rather, I am where I am because I have preached Christ. Soldier goes home, sees his friends. He says, man, did y'all hear about the Duke Paul? And he said, oh yeah, everybody been talking about him. It begins to spread all throughout the Praetorian Guard, the elite guard who normally watches around Caesar. They're all talking about Paul. Why is he in jail? Paul is in the situation that he is in because he's preached Christ. Watch this. It's not because he's done something wrong, but rather because he's done something right. My brothers and my sisters, sometimes God will allow us to go through difficult situations in life, not because we've done something wrong, but because we've done something right. And here's why. There are some unsaved people who do not know Jesus. And when they see you going through what you are going through, and they begin to say to you, why are you in the situation that you are in? I dare somebody to look at them with Holy Ghost boldness and say, I am where I am, experiencing what I'm experiencing, all because I love God. I've got limits, but limits came from my God. And if he's given me limits, I've got to learn how to make some lemonade. Paul shows us a life on display. Paul shows us that even the unsaved Roman soldiers began to talk about Jesus. But not only that, he says, because I'm in jail, there were some timid, shy Christians who wouldn't talk about Jesus. But now that they see me in jail, and they see that I'm not backing down, they see that I'm not scared, even though a mob had kept around me to try to kill me, I still had enough boldness to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And when they saw that, they had boldness to stand up and say, I too believe in Jesus Christ. My brothers and my sisters, Paul's lemons also helped people who were in the church. There are a whole bunch of people who go to church week in and week out, but are so afraid to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Paul says, my lemons empower the church because they see me still trusting God in the midst of my difficulty. My brothers and my sisters, even if you look at the civil rights movement, I studied Dr. King in school. One thing that King said was, in order for the boycotts and for the protests to work, we needed them to attack us. He said, in order for it to be effective, we needed for them to turn the dogs loose. In order for it to be effective, we needed for them to use the water hoses. Here's why. He said, we needed lemons in order to make lemonade. He's saying we needed the difficulties so that people up north could see what we were finally going through, and they would be spurred along to say something about it. My brothers and my sisters, some of the difficulty you experience in life is not because God doesn't love you, but rather it's because God is using your life as a testimony to somebody else that he can bring you out of anything that he puts you in. God would never put more on you than you can bear. We live a life on display. Paul wants us to understand, my brothers and my sisters, that people are watching us. Our lives are on display. The same people that will try to break you are still watching you. The same people that know you believe in God are watching you. People that would be saved are watching you. They are wondering, how will they respond when the bottom falls out? They're wondering, how will they respond when difficult days come? They're wondering, how strong is their faith when it's tested? Not only are people watching, check this, even the devil is watching you to see if you will trust in God. The devil is watching to see if you will still shout. The devil is watching to see if you will still praise and if you will still dance for God. I know I'm right about it because the Bible says one day the sons of God were gathering in heaven and Satan showed up. God said, Satan, where are you coming from? Satan said, I'm coming from searching the whole world, trying to find somebody that I can test. And God says, have you tried Job? Satan says, I've been looking at him, but you know, you've been protecting him. You've been blessing him. You've been keeping a hedge of protection around him. However, if you remove the stuff from him, he'll curse you to your face and he'll want to die. God says, I know Job. I know Job really loves me. I know Job's faith is strong. You can go ahead and take all of his stuff, and Job will still be faithful to me. My brothers and my sisters, I want you to know, sometimes we may experience tests because God has said to the devil, she's still going to be faithful. He's still going to be faithful. Is there anybody here that's willing to show the devil that you will still shout even in the midst of the storm, that you will still praise even during the difficulty, that you will still worship even while going through? Is there anybody that's willing to say, amen, I know that my faith can endure the test? Paul wants us to understand, brothers and sisters, that we live a life that's on display. But not only that, verse 15, this text is downright baffling to me. It's downright baffling because Paul says, I'm in chains, but I know it's for the glory of God. Then he says, now there are some people who are preaching. Some of them are preaching out of love, but others are doing it out of jealousy and out of envy. Let me help you to understand what this means. The word jealousy here in Greek is actually meaning somebody who wants what I have. Y'all missed your shout cue. Try it again. The word jealousy here in Greek is somebody who wants what I have. What's baffling is that Paul is dealing with life's limits and people are still jealous. How is it that I've got to deal with life's limits but you still hating on me? How is it that I'm dealing with life's difficulties but you still want what I have? Has anybody here ever had to ask themselves the question, what is it that you are jealous about? What do you want? I'm still just trying to make it. They're jealous of me and they don't even realize I ain't even got nothing. They're jealous of me and they don't realize I'm still trying to pay my bills. They're jealous of me and they don't realize I'm just trying to hold my family together. This is downright baffling, but he says you can learn some lessons from jealous folk. Here's why. There are people who will see you go through your struggle and they can tell that God is still at work in your life. I love it. There are people who will watch you go through your difficult days and they can tell that God is up to something in your life. So much so that they'll be jealous of your living because they know that with God you can still make lemonade. They know it looks bad right now, but they can begin to see that God is up to something in your life. My brothers and my sisters, Paul helps us to understand that when we see people who are jealous of us, even while dealing with life's limits, that's a reason to have joy. And and to rejoice, because it lets us know that others can see our struggle, but they can still see God working in our lives. Here's why. Because while we are going through the difficulty, we haven't lost our mind. While we are going through the difficulty, we haven't thrown in the towel. It lets the world know that God still has his hands on us. And if God has his hands on us, that means he's not through with us. He will see us through it. I'm going to go back to Job one more time. Job, how did it work out for you when you were dealing with life's limits? Job would say, there were some folks who thought it was bad, but I knew God's hand was on my life. And so while it may have been bad, I understood that God's word says all things will work together for the good of them that love the Lord. And so there are some people who will look at your life and they'll begin to understand that it may look bad right now, but if they're going through all that hell, they're going through all that difficulty, that means that God is about to bring them to something. I love it. He says, people can see that God is up to something. Then I'm out of your way. Paul also shows us how to have a lemonade praise. So if someone to simply give you a lemon, it would be bitter. Wouldn't taste that good. However, if you put it with the right ingredients, take a little water, this water by itself won't be lemonade. No. You can put sugar in the water and still won't be lemonade. In order to make lemonade, you're going to still need the bitterness of the lemon. But when you know what to do with it, it's a beautiful drink to have in the summertime. Yeah. Paul says, it looks bad. I know that. Paul says, I'm chained to a Roman soldier. I know that. Paul says, there's people who are jealous of me even though I'm dealing with lemons. I know that. But then he says this, what does it matter? As long as God gets the glory out of my life, he says, I will still rejoice. But then he says in the next verse, not only will I rejoice, he says, I will continually rejoice. Why? Because that lets me know that God is active and working in my life. And in and of myself, I cannot get through it. But as long as you take my lemons and you link them up with the Holy Spirit and you link them up with God, I know the lemonade can be made. And so I will simply trust every experience of my life into the hand of God and know that God will make something sweet out of it. Let me give us a couple of examples. Joseph would say, I know something about God turning lemons into lemonade. I was in an Egyptian jail cell, but God turned the lemon into lemonade when he put me in second in charge in the Egyptian kingdom. Moses would say, I had lemons when I was in front of the Red Sea, but God turned it into lemonade as he sent the east wind and the west wind to stand the waters up, and I walked across on dry ground. Esther would say, I was a quiet queen dealing with lemons, but God emboldened me to be a liberator for her own people. He turned my lemons into lemonade. Daniel would say, I was in a lemon type situation in a lion's den, but God showed up and turned my lemons into lemonade, and I had my best night's sleep ever. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would say, I was in a lemon situation in a fiery furnace, but God turned the furnace into a spa, and I had a great day. Rosa Parks would say, I was challenged on a bus ride. It was a lemon situation, but I had enough Holy Ghost boldness and belief in God that it gave birth to a lemonade situation and rise to the civil rights movement. My brothers and my sisters, with God, we can turn lemon situations into lemonade. One more example, and I'm out of your way. Jesus would say, I know something about turning lemons into lemonade. They gave me the lemon of an old rugged cross, but they didn't know whose hand they was putting it in. I know how to make lemonade. And so they hug him high and stretched him wide. On Friday, it was all lemons. But then they put him in a borrowed tomb, and something happened in that tomb some kind of way. God took lemons and he made lemonade, because early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And the only reason we are free today is because he had the lemon of a cross so that we could have the lemonade of salvation. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, when life gives us lemons, with God, we can show the whole world how to make lemonade. Beyonce described something about lemonade because you have to take the bitterness in order to produce something sweet. My brothers and my sisters, I want you to know this. During this summer of joy, God will allow us moments in life where we have to deal with lemons. That's not moments to give up. It's not moments to throw in the towel. But rather, those are moments to continually rely on God, because we know that God is helping us make lemonade. Yeah. We show the world what it means to really have faith. Yeah. We show the world what it means to really trust God. When it looks bad to others, we can say, God, if you brought me into it, I know you'll bring me out of it. And so I will still rejoice. I will still have joy. I will still shout praises to your name. I will still sing. I will still worship, because I know with you, I can make lemonade out of this situation. Let's go before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that when life gives us lemons, with you we can make lemonade. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the God who is all powerful. You are the God that is all knowing. You know the beginning from the end, because you know everything. We already know, Lord God, if you allow lemons in our lives, you've already seen how it works out. Help us, Lord God, to rejoice even when we can't see the end. Help us to rejoice because we know that you know the end for us. Help us to rejoice, Lord God, because your word says all things work together for the good of them that love God. The good of them that are called according to his purpose. Help us, Lord God, to rejoice even when our situation says we shouldn't. Help us to have joy even when our circumstance says we should fall apart. Help us to trust you even when the difficulty of life says we ought to turn our backs on you. Help us, Lord God, to learn how to make lemonade out of life's lemons. Lord God, I pray right now for somebody who is here today, and they're listening, and they've heard the sermon, and they're reflecting on their own life. How many times they have been handed lemons? How many times they have tried within their own strength to do something with it, but they've only left with the bitterness of the lemon. They've only been left with the difficulty of life. But today they've heard, Lord God, as long as they are trusting you with it, you know how to make lemonade out of the difficulties in our life. You know how to make lemonade out of the struggles and the stresses and the strain of life. So Lord God, for somebody right now that does not know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of their sins, they've been dealing with lemons their whole life. They are saying, I want to link up with Jesus Christ because I want to see my life turned around. I want to see my situation turn around. And if you don't get me out of the situation, you're able to change my perspective in it. Lord God, I pray right now for somebody under the sound of my voice that you would draw them nearer to you. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand all over the sanctuary, brothers and sisters. Maybe there's somebody right now. You've heard the sermon. You've heard about life's lemons. And you want to make a decision today to trust God with the difficulties of your life. To trust God to make lemonade out of it. You want to give God your hand. You want to give God your heart. That's you, my brother, my sister, here at Uplift Church. We make it very easy for you. You don't have to walk down to give me your hand. You don't have to walk in the middle of the aisle. You don't even have to raise your hand. We invite you to pray a collective prayer. Here's why. We pray a collective prayer because we want you to know that you're in this journey with brothers and sisters. You're not in this journey by yourself. And so when there are difficult times in your life, you want you to know that the brothers to your left, a brother to your right, a sister to your left, a sister to your right, someone around you is willing to come in and to lift you up. They'll lift you up in prayer. They'll lift you up in encouragement. They want you to know that you're not in this journey by yourself. My brother, my sister, we invite you to pray a collective prayer with us by simply repeating these words. Say, Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I've fallen short. I admit that I've messed up. But I accept that you can make lemonade out of lemons. I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day to save me. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved in Jesus' name.